The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Today we have the joy of hearing the story of the prodigal son, which has to be the best story that Jesus ever told, and he told a lot of good ones. The story itself is a theological gold mine, with so many wonderful details that each individual verse has a message for us. But ultimately, this is a story about mercy. The kind of mercy that makes your jaw drop. Unthinkable, irrational, over-the-top mercy. The kind of mercy that can only come from profound love. The merciful one in this story is, of course, the Father. Even though we all know this story as the parable of the prodigal son, The star of this story is really the merciful father. This man had two sons, and the younger son does just about everything he can to insult and hurt his father. First, the son asks his dad for his inheritance before his father has even died. This is like spitting in his father's face. He is essentially saying, "Our relationship means nothing to me. All I care about is the money I get when you die, so go ahead and give that to me now." And the father does. But the son does not invest the money wisely or become a partner in his father's business. Instead, he leaves home and blows everything he has on stupid decisions. Finally, the son hits rock bottom and realizes that his only choice is to go back to his father and beg to be allowed to work as a servant in the fields. So he returns home. We expect, of course, for the father to be angry, disappointed, exasperated, resentful. His son has disrespected him, abandoned him, and now squandered his hard-earned wealth. We wouldn't be surprised if the father sent him right back out into the world to face the consequences of his poor choices. We would consider it merciful enough if the father simply granted the son's request and allowed him to work as a servant on his property. But this story isn't about reluctant mercy or begrudging mercy. This is a story about jaw-dropping, unthinkable, no-holds-barred mercy. The father doesn't even wait for his son to get all the way home. While the son is still a long ways off, his father runs out to meet him. He throws his arms around him and kisses him, and then throws him a huge, extravagant party. The son's sinfulness and selfishness is not even mentioned. It is forgotten in the midst of his father's joy. That is true mercy, born of profound love. I've spoken before about my friend Bishop Hector Monterroso. Bishop Hector was Bishop of Costa Rica. That's when I met him. Now he serves in the Diocese of Texas. Bishop Hector told me this story many years ago, and it has always stuck with me. Bishop Hector had a friend who was the bishop of another diocese in Central America. In this diocese, there was an old woman who was very faithful. She went to church every day. She had a really rich prayer life. And this woman would have visions of Jesus, in which she would actually speak with Jesus as though they were face to face. Mostly she kept to herself, but sometimes she would share what she learned with others in these conversations with Jesus. And so she became somewhat well known for her visions, and eventually the bishop heard about her. He was a little skeptical, but he invited her to come to his office and talk more about these visions. So she did, and he asked her about her experiences. And she told him about some of these conversations that she had had with Jesus. So the bishop told her, "Okay, I'd like to ask a favor from you. The next time that you have one of these visions, I'd like you to ask Jesus what my sins are. Ask him for me, what are the sins of the bishop?" So she said, "Okay," and she left. And he didn't see her for several months. Then one day, this older woman came back to see the bishop. And he asked her if she had completed the task that he had asked of her. And she said, "Yes, I asked Jesus what your sins are." So the bishop, filled with anxiety and anticipation, said, "Well, what did he say?" And she answered, "Jesus said, I forgot. I forgot." Jesus doesn't need to keep a strict record of all of our sins. He's not making a tally mark every time we do something stupid or selfish and just waiting for the day when he will demand repayment for every mistake that we've made. Jesus doesn't have to keep track of our sins because they've already been paid for. They've already been wiped away. That's what we celebrate on Easter. Like the overjoyed father, Jesus is too wrapped up in his love for us to spare much time or energy for our sinfulness. What does matter to Jesus is that we turn to him and accept that love, accept his embrace, and be at home with him. We can see this right here in our gospel story. Our lesson begins with the Pharisees and scribes grumbling against Jesus. They are shocked and disappointed that he hangs out with these tax collectors and sinners, people who openly disobey the commandments of God and make poor choices, not unlike the prodigal son. But Jesus didn't care what these people's records were. He just wanted them to come to dinner with him. It might seem a little strange that we hear this story of profound, over-the-top mercy right in the middle of Lent. Lent is a season in which we focus on repenting of our sins. We take time to really examine our hearts and our lives to discover what is keeping us from God. We prayerfully ask God to show us which habits or mindsets are hurting our relationship with God. And we confess all the ways that our lives fall short of what God wants for us. Those are all really important Lenten disciplines, but we miss the point if we get so focused on our own sinfulness that we forget the bigger picture, that we worship a God who is abounding in mercy. The whole purpose of Lent, after all, is to prepare ourselves for the joy of Easter, when we celebrate that Christ has taken all our sins and wiped them away as though they never happened. So this Lent, I invite you to focus not just on your own need for repentance, but on the abounding mercy of God. Each Sunday, after we confess our sins against God and our neighbor, I invite you to imagine Jesus listening intently and looking you in the eye and saying, "I forgot." Amen.